Well, Nikki.
Hello.
Happy
birthday. Oh my goodness. Happy birthday. It's weird to say that. Happy birthday. Happy new year. New season upon us at some point.
Yes. New year, new us, new podcast by going back to where we started, essentially.
Yeah. New year. New fresh content, and then also I think these episodes specifically give us a good time to look back and discuss how the season went, or just historically how we've grown over the time. And it's funny to be recording with you because last quick update, it was just solely me updating everybody. So welcome back.
I'm so sorry, everybody. I have been so busy this year, 2024. How many days are we in at the time of recording? 14 days. 14 yes. Days in, and January is already kicking my butt.
Do you have any, and this is completely aside from the podcast as its own, which we can talk about like resolutions and all that for the podcast, but do you do the whole resolution thing yourself as a person? Do you do any kind of like goals, or do you have a word for the year or anything like that?
I wouldn't necessarily say that I do like resolutions or set specific goals, but I will at the beginning of the year kind of sit down and think about what I did the year before, what made me happy, what didn't make me happy, and try to think about what I would like to get out of the next year and kind of go from there. I'm very much a just go with the flow kind of person. Whenever somebody asks me like, what's your 5-year plan? Buddy, I don't know. but I just kind of think about what would make me happy, what might make me improve and grow as a person, without putting too much pressure on myself. And that's kind of where I go. So for this year, I would say last year, what really upset me was, if you follow me on Instagram, you follow me on TikTok, you might have noticed that I didn't do a whole lot of cosplay last year. It was very much contained to MomoCon, and that was about it. I didn't feel comfortable doing it during the strikes, mostly because I was very limited to what I could do, what I felt comfortable doing. And I just didn't make a whole lot of stuff last year because I was so busy. So I would like to make more time to get back into what I consider to be my favorite hobby.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of crazy that you're saying that. Not crazy, but I did notice that your socials were very tumbleweed-ish, I will say, just because it was very just surreal in the sense of how the strikes kind of took over a lot of content creators, including ourselves and our podcast, of course, as we've talked about from numerous times now. But I'm glad that you're going in this year with a whole new outlook and hopefully some fun new content as well for your channels.
I am looking forward to some of the things that I want to get done. I am currently working on a new Mario project. I'm very excited to unveil soon. And I have a few other things that I have planned that I'm very excited to get going. So just pay attention to my Instagram, everybody. I will be posting updates as we go. But what about you, Nikki? What are your big plans for this year?
I'm probably very much the same as you, as I don't really do the whole resolution thing every year. For me, it's just consistently work on yourself is the way that I look at it. But this year, I kind of went in with a more open framed mind this year. And more so since the holidays, and I got to take like some time off working and just a lot of reflection time. And I feel that there was a lot of energy wasted for me personally last year, and a lot of things that did not serve me, made me unhappy, not spending time with people who I love enough. And so this year, I think the ultimate resolution or goal for myself is being an overall happier person, and then also coming to, what is it called, enlightenment, when you're in that mode of like, okay, this is good. Things are, it is what it is, what you can control, what you can't control. And I think just, yeah, we're 14 days in, and I've had this weird, I don't want to say euphoric feeling, but just this very different feeling than last year. And I feel much more calm, much more at ease, and we're only a couple of weeks into the new year. But I'm like, man, I really want to continue this feeling, and I don't want it to end. Just, I think last year, and we can cut this out if you're not feeling comfortable with us keeping this in. Last year, with your grandfather's death specifically, Rachel, that hit me so hard. And I know it hit you extremely hard, of course. And I think it just goes to show life is too short to not spend it with the people you love, and then also not being happy.
Yeah,
And we haven't.
last year was such a roller coaster going out of February, getting to see you. I so very little get to see you in person, get to spend time with you in person. So it's always such a treat whenever I get to visit you or you get to visit me. So it was such a roller coaster coming off of that, getting to see you, getting to see everybody I loved for that surprise birthday party that y'all threw me for my 30th. It was so lovely. So to come off of that, and go into the rest of the year without my grandfather. And if I'm being honest, I think I'm willing to admit it now. And I'm sure you noticed. I know my dad noticed. I know both my grandmother and grandfather noticed that I just didn't handle it well. I couldn't look at it straight in the face. It was really hard for me to see him like that. I think the year before, or maybe the year before that, when we both met up in Bend to visit him, and I was so excited because Clay had never met my grandfather, and I was very excited for him to get to meet him because both me and my grandfather are Pisces. I always felt very close to him. We both like rocks. And so I always felt a very special connection with him, and I was so very excited to have Clay meet my grandfather. And when I walked in the door to really get to see him for the first time, it took everything in me to continue to be peppy and cheerful for the rest of the day. And the drive back to our hotel was not an easy drive for sure. But I definitely agree with you. I'm gonna just have to live with that regret now that I was unwilling to look at it in the face. And now I the last couple years that my grandfather was there, I wasn't there as much as I should have been. And I have to live with that now, and it is what it is. And I can take that. I could sit here and be sad and upset about it and just kind of sit with the regret, or I can take it and turn it into something to make sure that I do not do that again. So I definitely agree with the spending more time with the people that matter.
I think it's one of those things that we as humans just get so down on ourselves and so hard on just the things that we do, we don't do. And I think that's just kind of like the frame of mind is death is not a linear path. It is very bumpy, just for everyone that is involved and whoever the relationship is specifically to, everyone that has lost someone in their lives. And so with that, I think it's definitely just spend the time with people you want to spend time with. And if, yeah, just going in with that kind of enlightenment is what I like to say. So I think the last couple of weeks has been a chill feeling. We'll see how the rest of the year, the rest of the month goes as of now. And again, it wasn't, I think it's something that we've never even discussed this on the podcast. And also just the sole fact of, if we're being honest, we haven't even, I don't know if it's we've been avoiding the conversation. I feel like it hasn't been brought up, and I don't know if this is the time or place to bring that up in this kind of setting. If it is, great, but who knows?
I definitely agree that we it was just hard to talk about, and I think it's safe to say, and I'm totally fine with talking about this. I was not before, but I'm fine now. But I'm okay with sharing this with anybody who might also be going through loss, and just know that you're not alone. It's a part of life, unfortunately, but those of us who are still here, we have each other, and we can lean on each other in these times. And it's sad that he's gone, but I take his love with me, and that's just that. That's what keeps me going through it. So, ooh,
Welcome to our TED Talk.
One thing that I think really helped me kind of work through it, I definitely would say I cope a lot through media, through television, TV shows. I think if you've watched or listened to any of the earlier episodes with movies about more serious or heavier topics, I think it's pretty obvious that I can sometimes use movies as a coping mechanism. A really beautiful work that I know probably a lot of our listeners are probably familiar with. It's been out for quite some time now. It's available on Netflix, Midnight Gospel. I'm saying this with a huge trigger warning. It covers intense topics. It covers topics about drug use, about death, about love and loss, and it gets very, very heavy. And watching it and going through the emotions that like the show kind of takes you through, especially if for those who know about the final episode where he speaks with his mother, it has some wonderful things to say about life and the meaning of life and what we mean to each other, even when we're gone. So I've seen it before, I loved it, but something just told me this year when like to just watch it again, and it really put me in a better place about him not being here anymore. And I highly recommend that for anybody who is possibly dealing with that kind of loss. Again, huge trigger warning. Do not go into the show lightly, but I definitely think it helped me a lot.
I feel that just kind of like looking at sentimental values being more raw, more real, I really feel, however this episode ends up getting finalized, and just like past episodes that we've done before the strike happened and us having to go offline for a little bit in the last season, but I do feel we've had a bit more of a raw feel with the more recent seasons that we've done. And specifically, I think us talking about this today, where I don't think there was any, when Rachel and myself sit here and discuss about what our episodes are going to be. Usually, more times than none, if it's like an actual review, we know what we're going to cover. We don't know what's going to come out of our mouths per se, but episodes specifically like this are bonus content. A lot of the time we just sit and record and it's organic content. And I think today is an example of that. This is our typical yearly birthday episode, and we are
That
going,
this was not where I was
yeah.
expecting to go with the birthday episode for sure.
But I think it's good though. It's important because you never know when someone needs some kind of comfort and they need to hear, hey, you're not the only person out there struggling, and this is also to you, Rachel. This is to myself, and that it's like there's resources out there to help people in scenarios like this. And I think it's good. There's always an outlook for that, and just talking about it, I think people, that's what makes it more, what is the word I'm looking for? I think it makes everything more genuine.
I definitely agree. I definitely agree. And I mean, being able to talk about it can really be healing as well. And just not even just to the point that you were getting at, but to just be able to kind of say it out loud. Really, this is probably one of the first times I'm actually saying a lot of this out loud. And to be able to do that is actually very soothing and healing. And yeah, so being able to just talk about it really helps.
Yes, I agree. And again, there's plenty of resources. There's online communities, there's television, movies, whatever it is that you, the listeners, if you're in a tough spot, please reach out. There's people that are here to support you and know that you're not alone. And same thing for you, my dear. You are not alone in this scenario and situation. So.
And never feel like therapy is a bad thing. Therapy is a good thing for everybody. I think everybody should go to therapy at least once in their life. If I'm being honest myself, this at the beginning of this year or end of last year, I just said I'm tired of feeling like this, and I would like help. And there's no shame in reaching out and finding that help. So, yeah, reach out if you need somebody, you should reach out to whoever it is that is close to you. And if you need it, go get therapy.
Absolutely. I think that's the beautiful thing about today's day and time. There's a lot of things that aren't beautiful, but one of the beautiful things is just, I think, the openness and willingness to seek help when it's needed from people. And I feel like us as a society, the stigma is definitely getting broken. It's getting better. We still have a lot more work to do as a society,
Oh,
but
definitely.
we're getting there.
I am always just so impressed whenever I spend time with my younger sister. She's Gen Z, younger
Gen
generation.
Z.
Yeah, younger generation, and as mean as her and her friends can be to me sometimes, since I am a millennial mingling amongst them. I'm always just so impressed with them. They're how kind they are to each other and others around them. They are just so sweet, and it warms my heart and gives me hope because I'm gonna be honest, outside of you, Nikki, a lot of my friends were not as nice as my sister's friends. It's just wonderful to see that, and I definitely agree. I think that the younger generation is trying to push past stigmas and things that should have never been an issue or a problem, and they're just pushing past that, and I think that's so wonderful.
Absolutely. Let's hope that 2024 continues this momentum of just the good that happens in on this planet, you know, in this universe. More good, hopefully.
Yes, please.
And I mean, just kind of like switching gears real quick, I think also just more of the same, but also different for our podcast specifically, just because I think it's been nice. We really with I think we found our stride for more of the being more vulnerable was when we were talking about the legendary Green Ranger episode. I think that was where we really took off with that. And I think just having more raw, open conversations is good. And I think also towards the last bit of our season where we never got to finish it, there was a lot of vulnerability there, a lot of frustration of like what was going to happen with the podcast. Because there was a time where, honestly, again, we had that conversation where I said, I don't know if we can be sustainable as a podcast anymore. And yet here we are, 2024,
Yes,
and
ready to go.
all I know, when so much more new content and Things that are going to be dropping here this year. We have tons of films that dropped last year. New Roman Empires for me, specifically movies that got released in theaters and in Prime that kind of like keeps me thinking.
You know what I'm going to make you watch for the podcast? I don't care how over it you are.
There's a few key films or TV shows that I'm like, I'm not doing it.
You're doing this for me. You have to. The Hunger Games.
Oh.
You're not getting out of watching Ballad. You're watching it.
But I think to be fair, I think those films specifically have a different meaning for you because you got to be an extra in the films, and that kind of hits, and that can be a whole episode of on its own. If we're being honest, I think it should be Rachel. Like, where is the episode for our listeners and you talking about your cool extra work and your acting work?
I miss it so much. It was so much fun.
We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about like when I visited and we went and saw like all of the Walking Dead things, like the scenes and places, Woodbury. Like we have to step so far back from things that we didn't even cover last year. But specifically, I think for me, it's not anything specific to the Hunger Games franchise, because I will say the first four films, I think it's four or five.
Yeah, they split the third one into two.
The four films that came out, they were phenomenal. They were very well told from a perspective of someone who did not read the books. Tempted, never did it. But
you really should. You really, really should.
It was great. The cast was great. The storyline was great. They were awesome. For me, again, it's not specifically, a new Hunger Games film. I, as a consumer of TV, movie, all things pop culture, I am burnt out from the sheer just mass produce of things that it's like no one's asking for, and we're recreating things.
That's you. You might not have been asking for it. The rest of us definitely wanted to know how Snow came into power. But I would actually argue that Susan Collins, for one thing, The Hunger Games was on the number one bestseller list for years.
Oh, 100%.
For years. Even after Mockingjay came out. She never wrote anything else in regards to The Hunger Games after that. She didn't have like a website where she was writing new canon content. She could have made so much money. She could have cashed in on that, done like a whole, what district are you? Like she could have made a whole like Wizarding World kind, like similar kind of like empire on this whole thing. And she didn't do it because she knew that would take away from the meaning of the original series that she wrote and did. And I would like to point out that the entire fan base that was on my level, as far as how obsessed with it they were, we've been begging for other Hunger Games books or movies about other characters, their Hunger Games, just another arena, another scenario. I think a lot of the ones that get asked for a lot of the times are unnecessary, especially if you read the books, because a lot of them are explained in full detail in the book. That being said, everybody was like, it's so captivating and they wanted more, but she didn't do it. She was almost like, get off my back, you capital citizens.
Shoot, you know what I have been saying for the longest time, and I'm putting this out in the universe. If someone makes it, please give me a little bit of credit here. I've been saying for the longest time, it would have been cool to have an actual like player versus player Destiny feel of a Hunger Games video game. I don't understand why we never got something like that, where I envision you create your player, completely customize how they look, and you get thrown into this arena with tons of different live players playing at the same time.
Nikki, you know what you just described?
What?
Fortnite.
Is that what Fortnite is? I've never played Fortnite a day in my life.
I mean, it's like not kids killing each other, which is what the Hunger Games is, but it's, I mean, you're just thrown into a space that I I've never played the game myself. I'm just gonna go ahead and say that, but I know plenty of people who have, and they've explained it to me in great detail. But essentially, you and like a bunch of other people get dropped in random locations on an island, and it gets or some kind of map. And I guess it gets smaller and smaller and smaller the longer the match goes on. But essentially, it's just a battle royale until there's one person left, and then they're the winner. And you have to go find weapons, you can build things, but you need to like do survival stuff from what I can tell. But yeah, and you can make customizable characters, which is how they, make their money. So you pay for, whatever microtransaction to get whatever skin you want.
Well, then I need Fortnite, whoever created Fortnite, to run with this idea. But for me, it's more in the sense of I think I was getting just so burnt out, not specifically Hunger Games, but just all of these remakes that have been getting dropped, these films. Like, I will stand on this hill that I love Star Wars. I absolutely love everything regarding Star Wars. I even love the prequels. I know some people will say, oh, that's like terrible, especially saying the third
You
one
know
is
what?
probably my favorite.
I used to be one of those people, and you know what? I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. Past me was wrong, and everybody who disses on anybody who likes any of the franchises, please leave. Just leave, because what it's Star Wars, it's all stupid. We all love it anyway. It doesn't matter
But
what part you love. Go on,
my
go on.
point being is just all of these other shows they've been just throwing out of the woodwork, and then also the Marvel Universe specifically. I stopped after Endgame and Infinity War because for me, I was like, okay, I've gotten my fill of superpower, like superheroes and whatnot. And then they started releasing all of these shows on Disney Plus, which given I know a lot of people loved like WandaVision. A lot of people love Loki. I know you're one of those people that love both shows. But for me, it was like too much where I had to invest my time in watching these TV series to know what the heck was going on in the newest like Doctor Strange film, like Thor, Love and Thunder. And I said, as a person, I just want to go and watch the film without needing to like watch all of these different TV shows to pick up. So that's kind of where my hesitancy came from with Hunger Games. But you point out a really good thing where it's saying, you know what? She didn't do this whole cash cow thing. And that kind of opens my mind a little bit to say, okay, when it finally comes out on streaming for free, I will watch it. Because
It's
it's gotten great reviews.
it as somebody who really appreciated the original story, the original books, and read both the book and went and saw the movie, I do think it is a wonderful companion to the books and really helps kind of give you a better idea of the world of Panem. And I also think she did a really wonderful job of using the characters. Obviously, there are characters that are in this that don't are not going to exist or even be heard of by the time that we get to Katniss's story, but I think she did a really good job of tying that all together so that it felt very natural and nothing felt retconny. So I think it's just a really good companion to the original story. So I it she did a great job of tying everything together. And I love Susan Collins.
Yeah, it's I'll definitely end up watching it at some point. I've been on these my medical TV series. I've been so sucked into Dr. Death recently on Peacock.
Oh my God.
There was an episode on season two with Dr. Macarini. We're not gonna have time to like sit here and maybe we'll cover that on a review episode. But this man, what he was doing to his patients, I'm just gonna stop there. But there's a whole entire episode of it's just about his patient and what she goes through. And this is a real life person who endured actually what had happened to her. When I tell you, Rachel, I have not felt sick and extremely sad after an episode in the longest time. This was it. Did you watch that season?
Yes, I did, and it was insane.
Episode five, you know what I'm talking about? The one girl.
Yes.
And yeah, we'll save this for a
Yeah, like,
whole
we can talk about it on a
review.
different episode. Also, huge trigger warning for anybody who goes to watch it.
Yeah, please, like.
I mean, it's in the title.
Now I'm just down this deep rabbit hole of I need to know more about this guy and how he got away with this, how he's still getting away with it, just based off of what is being
Honest.
told, of course. It's insane. It's even you look at this documentary that was released on Netflix, and I know people take this with what you will because I think people may have debunked certain things that showed up on this documentary. I don't know. But there was a whole documentary called The Bleeding Edge, and it's talking about implantations and implants that are being input into people. So specifically, like, cobalt knees, cobalt hip replacements, and how patients are getting severely sick from these implants that are happening inside your body, and it's FDA approved. And that's a whole nother deep, like, rabbit hole we could go down that I don't think we have enough time to go in to this episode. But I
No.
think point being is there's so much content that we can work with in this season, and it's a lot of just excitement that I don't know, sky's the limit for this new season for us. We want to interview people this time around and take a different approach as well.
What is your opinion on the whole Gypsy Rose situation?
My thoughts regarding Gypsy Rose, because I was somebody who came in to the mix when the act dropped, and that's when I learned all about who she is and everything that happened to her. And I will say what she endured, oh my gosh, nobody should ever be put through something like that. There's a film that's very reminiscent of this on Hulu called, I think, Run, and it has Sarah Paulson
Yeah, I
as the
actually watched that
mother.
recently.
Oh, that was on our list to review too. Good. Okay. So that's very reminiscent of her story to me. The thing is, she served her time. She was in prison. She's out. She's now a free woman. And she's telling her story now just because she has not had the chance to do that behind bars, I'm sure, as much as she would have liked to do. But there is something just a little, there's something a little off for me about this whole situation where it's like she does need to make money. How else is she going to make money right now until she is making passive income from like her book that's being released or an audiobook that people purchase? I can't put my finger on it. Because it's like, I don't know if she's necessarily looking for stardom. The public thing is just very interesting to me, just because it's like, you were in prison, you did your time, but you still, even though you did not kill your mother, you still premeditated it. Like, you were still part of that process.
Well, I am gonna go ahead and say this. What she did was wrong. She should not have gone about it that way, and she has said that herself. She should
Oh,
not have
yeah.
done that. She should have gone another route. But at the same time, none of us were in that situation. We can all
Exactly.
speculate on what we would have done, what we might have done differently. But unless you have actually been in her exact situation, you have no idea how desperate you would have been to get out of that situation.
100%.
And a lot of the things that I'm hearing people say that she would have done, or that she should have done, she did try, and they didn't work.
And it's
And
like, should have done, could have done, would have done. It's like, y'all weren't there. You didn't see what was happening. Yeah.
but she shouldn't have done it, plain and simple. But she went through all of that abuse for her entire life. Her mom was making her think this adult woman was still a child and was treating her as such. That is going to mess with your mental development so badly, no matter how hard you try to fight against it, no matter who is helping you outside of that, that's going to mess with your head. So we essentially, yes, she was an adult when she went to jail, but she essentially went in as a child because she never had that time to mature. She never had that parenting that she really needed to become an actual adult.
or experiences at that.
Exactly. So all of her time essentially spent as an adult in her life was spent in prison. And I think it doesn't need to be said, life in prison is not life outside of prison. They're two very different things. And I don't think you're learning the right kind of life skills that you need at that point of your development when you've already been that stunted. Yeah. Is really going to help you. And then on top of that, because of things like the act, and I'm part of the problem too, I watched the act, I loved the show, it was very interesting, it kept me hooked. I probably watched it for some of the wrong reasons. I'm willing to admit that, but at this, like, everybody watched that, everybody became obsessed with this story, everybody felt bad for Gypsy, everybody had an opinion about, oh, like there were some people back then who were saying that her mother deserved it.
And, oh, I know.
Yeah. And so I feel like there was such a demand for her presence, for her to say something, for her to give her story, that even if she wants to maybe keep it private, to keep it to herself, I don't think that she really would know, have the faculties or know how to say no to that, because she is probably being hounded all of the time by fans on social media. Before, even if she didn't have social media, she would probably be getting calls from The View, which she's already been on, and yeah, and different media outlets, because everybody wants her story because they know it's going to get views. And that's really the problem. She is literally the mind of a child trying to figure out how to exist in the world. And also, she went in 8 years ago. That's almost a decade ago. What life was like a decade ago outside of jail is not what it is now.
It's even if you look at the movie that recently dropped, Priscilla. Mm-hmm. And everyone seeing through the eyes of Priscilla Presley. Mm-hmm. And I think that movie specifically has gotten a lot of, it's a 50-50 where there's a good amount of people that are like, okay, wow, what she endured. And then there's a ton of diehard Elvis fans that will say, no, Elvis was not like this. This was imaginative. This was fake. And it's kind of like speaking from the side of somebody that can't speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's this, you know, it's completely two separate, different scenarios of what happened between mm-hmm. Elvis and Priscilla and then Gypsy Rose and Dee Dee. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, saying Dee Dee's not here to talk about anything that she did. She's not here to defend herself. Mm-hmm. She's, whether that's defendable or not. And then mm-hmm. same thing if you look at Elvis, he's not here to talk and say what mm-hmm. his side of it is. What are you envisioning for this coming season to go like? What would you like to see more of?
Well, for one thing, I want us to see us do more reviews.
That's a given, yeah.
Yes. I really want to see us do that. And I think it would be fun. We talk about it all the time. We talked about it a lot last year. I think it would be fun to do a video game episode about a more specific game. But I think that would be fun. I would really like to do that this season. But yeah, I'm just so excited to get back into talking about movies. I just miss that so much. That's why we started this. That's why we come here. I'm just happy to be getting back into that.
For me, I would love to see us, as we've mentioned, move towards a little bit more of our network and connecting with other podcasts mm-hmm. and bring podcasts onto our podcast and interview them and get to hear from other people or have them join us on a review. Also specifically some guests that we have lined up in our personal lives to come on to the podcast and mm-hmm. interview them about past lives of theirs. And I think the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to, which I don't think you're going to partake in, is our hot sauce challenge for the year.
No, I've actually come to the conclusion and I think we talked about this a little bit too, the whole issue with things being too hot And causing like esophagus problems and causing some people to go to the hospital. One thing I've actually noticed recently is I can't find spicy Slim Jims anywhere. I don't like them myself, but I like to surprise my husband with them. I can't find them anywhere.
I think the one chip challenge kind of ruined it a little bit, just with all the young gentlemen who passed away from it. But I think we'll stick to some of the more hot ones, hot sauces specifically.
Yeah. I because of the way I react to such a small amount of it, because when I did the chip challenge, I'm talking, I barely ate a crumb. I barely ate a crumb, and you saw how I reacted. None of that was acting. None of that was fake. That was my full real reaction. I could not handle how hot it was. I was laughing out loud the other day because I was going through my Google photos, just trying to cull some things down, and I saw the photo that I think you took right after we had cut and finished the episode, where I'm on the floor, sitting with like a bowl of ice cream, just like eating it, and I look up and I just like look so sad. It cracked me up, and I barely had any. I barely had any, and I just feel like that reaction. Why am I risking a hospital trip? I'm obviously not the person to be trying this. My body is obviously not ready. I'm not doing it again. I'm not doing it again. And if I try, both you and Clay need to stop me.
That's recorded for everyone to hear, but I think my tummy is healed from last year's challenge. So we'll do it again this year without Rachel's company on it.
Well, I'll be there to, show my support.
Yes, this has been a whirlwind of an episode.
But I like that we're ending it on a high note, a kind of spicy note.
Spicy. Well, until next time, then, whenever that next time is.
Until next time, everybody.
Bye.
If you like Two Girls, One Review, go subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. Just something coming. Wait, whoa.
Stand the ring.
Yeah.
Rachel's phone just rang if
Yeah,
anyone heard that.